Okay, before we get started with today's episode, have you heard the awesome news? Llama Life now has an iOS app so you can take it with you wherever you go. I have been using Llama Life consistently on my computer for a year now. A year! That's unprecedented. That's like a lifetime in ADHD terms. And now with the new iOS app, I'm able to seamlessly transition between my computer and my iPhone so that my favorite little productivity coach is with me whenever I need it. So what is so special about Llama Life? Well, for starters, it's not a fancy new calendar or planner or complicated productivity management system. It's a time-boxing, single-tasking program that easily integrates with your already existing organizational systems. If you're like me and you struggle with time blindness or maintaining focus throughout your day, then this is the app for you. I love Llama Life because it's simple, effective, and beautifully designed. And dare I say, it makes even the most mundane chore more fun and colorful. If you want to check out the iOS app for yourself, head to the App Store for a free trial and start enjoying that Llama Life for yourself.
And especially remember at the beginning, I was so impatient. Everybody is. Like, you just want to like figure it out and like be there. And I still have moments where I'm like, I just want to be there. And I'm constantly reminded by my coach and many, many, many people, like there is no there, because when you're there, you want to be further there.
Hello and welcome to the Women and ADHD podcast. I'm your host, Katie Weber. I was diagnosed with ADHD at the age of 45, and it completely turned my world upside down. I've been looking back at so much of my life, school, jobs, my relationships, all of it with this new lens, and it has been nothing short of overwhelming. I quickly discovered I was not the only woman to have this experience, and now I interview other women who, like me, discovered in adulthood they have ADHD and are finally feeling like they understand who they are and how to best lean into their strengths, both professionally and personally. Before we get started, I'd like to share with you this review from a listener named Point North on the Apple Podcast platform. It's entitled Incredible. I feel so seen. Listening to this podcast has become part of my daily therapy of sorts. I have an appointment for testing next week and can't wait. I'm so optimistic that the web of tangles that has been my mental health is slowly starting to become unraveled. I am so grateful for this podcast. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, thank you, Point North, so much for this review, and I'm sincerely so glad that this podcast has been therapeutic. I hope all went well with your testing. I know that can be an anxiety-inducing experience all on its own. Sometimes I like to joke that if you find the whole process of securing doctor's appointments and waiting for testing and then fearing that you won't get a diagnosis and you'll be back to square one, or if you do get a diagnosis that maybe somehow you faked it, if you find that whole process to be agonizing, then you're probably on the right track when it comes to ADHD. Speaking of reviews, if you are a listener of this podcast and you've been helped by these conversations, a lovely way to say thank you is to take a moment to leave a review. Or if that feels like too much, and I totally get it, just stop and take a moment and quickly hit the 5 stars, either in Spotify or in the Apple Podcast platform. In fact, while we're talking about it, why don't you just pause right now, go do it, and come back. I promise we will wait for you. Okay, here we are at episode 122, in which I interview Emily Weinberg. Emily is currently a stay-at-home mom of 2 4-year-olds. She was diagnosed with ADHD in 2021 at the age of 36. Emily reached out to me and had this to say. Quote, at the start of my diagnosis, while I loved listening to your show, sometimes it would actually make me feel a little worse about my own ADHD. While it's so great to listen to so many successful and inspiring women, I would sometimes think, how are they all doing so well despite all these challenges we both face? And I feel like I'm just flailing. Even some of them who had been diagnosed for just as long or less than me. So Emily wanted to share her perspective as, quote, the one who is also a bit lost in life and really trying to get a grip on her symptoms and self-esteem while taking care of 2 toddlers and trying to figure out what she is doing with the rest of her life. It's really great listening to the women who have already risen and seemingly have it figured out. But sometimes it's also validating listening to the women who don't have it all figured out yet, who are stuck in the muck right with them, but are slowly beginning to find their way out of it. Through her own coach and coaching program she has been in for 2 years now, Emily has learned a tremendous amount about how her own brain works and how to begin embracing it. Coaching not only changed her life in the most impactful way, it also led her to discover her own passion for coaching. She recently began training to become an ADHD coach, and she wants to give back to the ADHD community by educating, supporting, and guiding other adults who suspect they have it, or those who are diagnosed and ready to learn more about their ADHD. I have to say, this has to be one of my favorite interviews I've done on this show, and I'm sure after you listen, you'll agree. So if you are out there and you're newly diagnosed and feeling like you will never get your shit together, I hope you listen to this conversation and find some solace and possibly some inspiration too. Okay, enjoy. Hi, Emily. Welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. I'm really excited that you are having me. Very nervous, but very excited.
Well, I hopefully you won't be nervous for long as we kind of hit the ground running. These are my favorite interviews, are women who listen to the podcast and really kind of benefited from hearing the stories of other women and then really want to share your own story as, you know, kind of pass on the torch and give back. So, yeah. So why don't we start out with your diagnosis? You were diagnosed a couple of years ago?
I was diagnosed about a year and a half ago. July or June of 2021, I think. As I became like a kind of a young adult, maybe college, but a little bit after college, people kind of joked with me a lot that I had those kind of ADHD tendencies of, you know, easily distracted, interrupting a lot, losing focus. And I kind of laughed along with it and was like, yeah, it's just part of my personality. Did not really think that I had ADHD. Again, I like thinking back to my childhood, there were no real issues there. You know, I did fine in school. I was a good kid. Nobody would have ever assumed that I had ADHD as a kid based on, you know, that kind of common knowledge of what it looks like. And so I kind of just took on that persona of a person who was like a little free-spirited, a little flaky, and kind of thought in the back of my head, well, like, this is ADHD, like, it's fine. It's not really affecting me. So, or it is, but not in a negative way based on these characteristics that people are pointing out. When I graduated from the School of Education. I didn't go into teaching, and that, looking back, had a lot to do with ADHD. I got a nannying job that I was, you know, after about 2 years, I was like done, hopped into an early intervention job that my friend had been doing. And it was great for a while. It was make your own schedule. It was new every day. But about 2 years in, again, a little bit had to do with like a project that I was supposed to have been slowly accumulating over time. And I kind of wanted to get out before that had to be done. And then, you know, a little bit more nanny and whatnot. And then I finally got into teaching. And it like almost broke me, basically. I was, from an outsider's perspective, a really great teacher. I was really good with the kids. I taught effectively. And behind the scenes, I was like such a mess. I couldn't get anything organized. I couldn't plan more than a day in advance. And I just felt like such a fraud because I was kind of highly regarded at the school as being a good teacher. And to me, I was like, oh my God, if only they knew how messy and confused and kind of like grasping at things I really am. But I stuck with that for 5.5 years. And you know, everybody says your first year is crazy, and then it kind of, and yes, my first year was crazy, but it never got easier from the sense of like getting my flow. Like I never, planning never just kind of happened. Every year was new. So this is an interesting tidbit. My wife and I actually got pregnant at the same time, which is a whole other story. But so we had our son and our daughter a week apart. So then motherhood came and I loved it at first. I got bored a little bit in. I had a hard time doing anything else besides taking care of these babies. And about when they were around a year, I started going to therapy because I was like, I'm not doing as well as I thought I would be doing. I was so excited to be a mom. I thought, you know, after all my years working with kids and nannying and all this, like, this would be it. This would kind of come naturally to me. And I just was like flailing. So I was in therapy for a while. Pandemic made things a whole lot worse. And then this very random comment by somebody I had connected with through Instagram, because she and her wife had also carried babies at the same time, and you make those weird connections, you know, had like posted some question about Christmas decorations and have you put yours down, yada, yada. And I kind of rambled back to her this whole reason why ours are put away, but because my wife likes things put away. And if it was up to me, they'd be up till April. And then I gave this whole thing. And she just responded being like, do you have ADHD? Because that was a very ADHD response. And I was like, that's weird. It's like, no, but that's weird. And like, that set me off on the tailspin of learning and being like, what that's ADHD? Oh my God, this. And then learning about the executive functioning. Oh, sorry. And this is a little side note. One of my best friends, also very similar to me, we joke we have the same brain, was diagnosed with ADHD. And after she was, she kept on being like, you gotta go get diagnosed. I really think you have it. And I had somewhere seen this thing about like executive functioning disorder. And so I kind of came back with her like, I think I actually have executive functioning disorder. Like that seems to make more sense. Like the hyperactivity thing, the like run by a motor, like I don't that, but executive functioning disorder, like that I get. So then when I found out that that's a majority of ADHD, I was like, oh, well, okay, that makes more sense now. And learning about inattentive instead of hyperactive, like that is me with my brain just constantly going, but I'm not very hyperactive myself outwardly. So after looking into it and doing binging on some podcasts and being like, okay, this actually explains everything, I got a referral from my therapist. I had to wait 4 months for an evaluation, which felt like forever, but I know now listening is not that long in the ADHD world. I finally had the appointment. I had been like that waiting mode for like 4 months for this appointment. I had all my notes written on paper. I had talked to my dad about my childhood. I had filled out like these booklets that I had printed offline where I filled them out, my wife filled them out. And like, I was like in it. And it was a telehealth thing, and she popped on, and it was this very unfriendly psychiatrist and was basically like, what are we doing today? And I was like, oh, well, I was, you know, looking to see if I needed a diagnosis. And she was like, well, I don't diagnose. And I was like, well, then this is the appointment I set up. What's happening? So she was solely for medication. Like she prescribes meds and whatever. So there was some kind of mistake with how they set up my appointment. But she was like, well, you know, if you want to continue, like, why don't you just tell me why you think you have ADHD? And I was like, how do I start? You know, I thought the testing process was going to be them asking me questions. And so I just kind of started rambling and going on and on. And after listening to me for about like 5-7 minutes, she kind of just cut me off and was like, you know, you seem to be a pretty successful person, and it just seems to me that you are a fairly anxious mom of young children. And I was like, yeah, but, you know, a lot of these symptoms came before I had children. And she actually shushed me and kind of explained to me that this was all anxiety, and I graduated college. I seem to have a fairly successful life. Meanwhile, she didn't ask me any questions about how college was and how I pulled all-nighters every single time I had a paper or a test, and, you know, didn't finish my teacher's tests before graduating and all these things. She asked me if I wanted a prescription for anxiety medication. I told her that felt really inappropriate, that she would try to prescribe me with something after speaking with me for 10 minutes, and hung up and just like started sobbing.
Oh.
Because it's like your worst fears realized.
Yeah.
Right? Like you're so worried that you're crazy and somebody's going to invalidate you. And that's basically what she did. Luckily, she asked if I wanted to be referred to another psychiatrist who could do a proper evaluation. And I said, yes. That took about 2 more months. Oh, you know what I forgot? The first appointment with her was supposed to be in April and it actually got canceled because she had an emergency. So it got pushed back to June. And then that is what happened in June. And then I didn't get another appointment until July or August. Yeah. Anyways, the next psychiatrist I met with was wonderful. She understood everything I was saying. She got ADHD and its symptoms and how it presents in women. She did the full 4-hour thing immediately after. It was like, you know, you'll get your test results in 2 weeks, but like, yeah.
Oh my goodness. Can you, what telehealth company was this?
Sorry, I shouldn't have said telehealth.
Oh, okay.
I just meant
it was a telehealth visit. Okay. All right.
Yeah. The actual test with the second psychiatrist was in office. The intake, the first psychiatrist who dismissed me was virtual. The intake was virtual. And then I went into the office to do the actual testing.
Yeah. I'm so sorry that was your experience. I wish that was rare. You know, I wish it was more rare. I feel like I've heard from so many women who have had a similar experience of just being like, oh, you just sound like you're a mom who needs a good nap, right? Like, it's so frustrating when, like you said, like no questions about what my experience was, what was happening behind the scenes. You know, like you said, teaching broke me. And I'm like using phrases like broke me, right? Like those should be some of those indicators if you know what to look for. But what, like why clinicians time and time again are so fucking dismissive and lack curiosity. It just drives me crazy. Well, I'm glad you found the second one for sure.
Yeah. And it was also, you know, I think a lot of, especially in moms, because there is a lot of there are a lot of struggles that come with ADHD that also come with being a human and being a mom, mm-hmm. right? You know, all moms struggle in very similar ways. All people can struggle in similar ways. You know, I don't need to be telling you this. Obviously, with ADHD, it's the severity and, you know, how many times a day and how much it's affecting you, all of that. But when you do get into like mom life and you're realizing these ways in which you struggle, and there is so much of the like narrative of like, that's being a mom. It's hard to feel like you can look beyond that to say like, no, but this actually feels harder for me. I get that it's hard for a lot of people, but something about it feels harder for me, you know, almost like it's like self-indulgent, but like you're making an excuse or you just can't hack it or whatever, because all moms are going through this. So to already have that in the back of my head of like, you know, am I just struggling because I'm a new mom? Like, and that's what this is. And then to have a psychiatrist basically repeat that back to me. The one thing I will say is I had joined an online ADHD coaching group in April when I first thought I was going to have my appointment. And really, really, really thankfully I did. I think I had been in it for 2 months before this appointment because it got pushed back to June. And A, I learned so much more about ADHD in that coaching program because a lot of it has to do with education. B, I had heard a lot of stories already about how this had happened to some people and how they had been dismissed and how you can get a second opinion and find a new psychiatrist. So I had already been kind of prepared that this might happen. It didn't make it any less like gut punch because in my head, I did kind of still have this optimistic view that, oh, you know, I live outside Boston and I was thinking, you know, we have all the best in the country. Like that must happen if you live in, you know, like some, you know, maybe small town where you don't have many, you know, psychiatrists to choose from. And so I kind of had this optimistic idea that won't happen to me. So I was really thankful that I knew that because it allowed me to get a second opinion and not just be like, it was all in my head. I guess I'm like, if I hadn't joined that, I honestly don't know what would have happened if I got that response and that was kind of it. And I felt stupid for even trying. So I am really thankful. And I also try to share that a lot whenever I find out that people are thinking they might have it or recommendations for how to prepare for a diagnosis, because it's just so important to realize that it's not just like a few psychiatrists or doctors who don't get it. Like, unfortunately, it really is. It seems like it's so many of them. And the ones that you can find that do get it seem to be like rainbow unicorn doctors, you know, or clinicians or whoever they are. So, really luckily it allowed me to keep going and get a second opinion.
Yeah, that's such an endorsement for not only trusting your gut and really kind of, feeling like if you have a strong reaction to what you read about ADHD, what you see about ADHD, if you're having a strong reaction, to really go with your gut about that. But also, like you said, like finding community and finding other people who you can talk about this experience with, because it is so hard to articulate. And we do so often get trapped in that self-denial role. I don't know if it's self-denial, but just like, you know, that internalized ableism or whatever you want to call it, where you're sort of like, well, maybe if I just try harder, or, you know, maybe another year it'll get easier, or like all of those things that we tell ourselves that are like, maybe I'm just feeling sorry for myself and I am just lazy, you know, all of those ways that we contribute to our own self-doubt because of, you know, not feeling like we have a reason to complain, right? Or just being like, well, you know, this is just what life is like.
Right. It's hard for everyone. Like, everyone struggles in this way, especially during the pandemic. It was really hard to feel like I could complain because of how hard it was for everyone and how much harder it was for some people. I mean, I was really lucky in that I wasn't working at the time. I was with my kids. So I didn't even have to juggle work and my kids. I saw people doing that and was like, I don't even know how it's possible. I don't know how you do that. So even just the thought, and I wasn't even doing it. I was just having a hard time managing my kids without other stuff going on. And you're right. It's like this like general consensus of like, life is hard. It's hard for everyone. Makes it really hard to like voice that maybe certain things are harder for you. And especially with ADHD, because, you know, of course you share the like, oh, I'm constantly losing things. You share a story of how you lost something and somebody will be like, oh yeah, but like that would happen to me too. I'm like, and that's such a common feeling, obviously, with everybody who has ADHD, of like, great, you lose things too.
Yeah, I know, right?
But like, are you so used to it? Like, when my wife loses something, it is so upsetting to her. And she's so frustrated with herself because it doesn't happen. Whereas she's like, you know, frantically searching for her wallet. And I'm like, this is my life. Like, I'm not so frazzled by it because I just didn't, we'll find it. But like, it's inconceivable. And sometimes she'll be like, I don't know how you live like this. You know, like, I don't know how you lose things all the time because this is driving me insane. I'll share this interview, which I have been thinking about since I booked it, have had it in my calendar and have often clicked on it to look at it in my calendar. I thought it was at 11 today. And I pulled into my driveway at 9:30 thinking like, all right, I can go in, unload groceries, jot some notes down, yada, yada. And I happened to look at my phone and I saw that there was like a Google reminder. And I was like, that's weird. It usually only does it with my like half hour and 10 minute. And I looked at it and I was like, is this interview at 10? This interview can't be at 10. And it's like, you tell that story to somebody and they're like, yeah, but like I've done that. And I'm like, I always do that though. And it's In my every single time I have looked at that for the past month, it has been an 11 o'clock interview. I have scheduled other things in my day around an 11 o'clock interview.
Right. Well, that exactly. That is so relatable. I've done that so many times where I'm like, I have looked at this so many times and I just didn't see it. And I'm like, how is that possible? How is looking and seeing two different things?
Yeah, it is. It's true. Like, I'll go to an appointment at the wrong place. And I'm like, somebody is playing tricks on me. I checked. I actually looked at it. And now it says something different. And I know that sounds crazy. And I know it actually is the thing that it says. But when I looked, I swear it said whatever it is. And it's, I mean, that's what also like causes half of the like stress and panic all the time, because you're just fairly positive you're correct. And the thing is, I put it in my calendar too. It's not even like, get a calendar. Of course, everyone would forget appointments if it wasn't in a calendar. It's in my calendar. I still almost messed it up. Like, I'm really thankful I didn't, but it's in my calendar. Still.
Yeah. Right. Well, I think those little things that pile up and pile up and pile up where you're constantly like, what is wrong with me? Right. Like, I was always sort of had those feelings throughout my life where I was like, do I have a learning disorder? Like, I could never really figure out what it was, all of these sort of random things, and could never connect the dots until the diagnosis, where then you're like, oh, all the dots connect.
Totally.
Hey, friend, if there's one thing I've learned about ADHD over the last few years, is that we can thrive with the right combination of accountability, planning, coaching, and peer support. Knowing all this, I set out to create the ultimate all-in-one coaching and accountability community for adults with ADHD or learning disabilities. I knew I couldn't do it alone, so I joined forces with one of my favorite ADHD coaches, Alex Gilbert of Capable Consulting, and together we launched the ADHD Lounge. The Lounge was created as a safe place for neurodivergent adults away from other social media, where we offer live group calls, co-working, and body doubling every weekday for accountability, focus, and skill development. We have weekly and monthly goal planning sessions to keep yourself on track. We also have one-on-one office hours with myself and Alex. And of course, friendship and lots of peer support. We have three different membership levels to meet you where you're at. So if you're looking for an affordable way to stay connected, productive, and accountable, while also having regular access to ADHD coaching and expertise, then make sure to come join me in the ADHDLounge.com. Again, that's the ADHDLounge.com. And as a listener of the Women in ADHD podcast, you can get 30% off your first month with the code PODCAST30. So head to the ADHDLounge.com and use the code PODCAST30 to get 30% off your first month. During the early days of my diagnosis, as I was deep into hyper-focus ADHD research mode, I kept searching for some kind of all-in-one, everything you ever needed to know about ADHD in women handbook that I could reference and keep at my fingertips, but I never really found anything that suited me. That's why I've taken everything I've learned about ADHD in women and adults who are socialized as girls, and I've gathered it into a concise, easy-to-access, self-guided, and self-paced course so you can feel like you've got everything you need at your fingertips. It's called Hey, It's ADHD, and it has everything you need to start loving your brain and living a more fulfilling, gratifying life. I built this course to be helpful wherever you are on your ADHD journey. I am so excited to finally be able to offer this course, and I truly hope this will help you develop a deeper understanding of your ADHD brain and how to embrace it as you build yourself a toolkit for your own life. So head over to womenandadhd.com and click on the Hey, It's ADHD course tab for more information and to get started. I'd like to take a moment to thank BetterHelp for sponsoring this podcast. If you're a regular listener of this podcast, you know I am a big proponent of therapy. Therapy provides me the best opportunity for verbal processing, something that is so important for my kind of brain and my sense of self. What I love about BetterHelp is that it's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional therapy that's done securely online from the comfort of your home. They assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist, and it's available for clients worldwide. So you get access to a broad range of expertise that
might not be available to you locally. It also tends to be more affordable than traditional offline therapy, and financial aid is available. If you visit their website and read their testimonials, there are actually quite a few reviews that specifically reference help with ADHD. As a special offer for listeners of the Women and ADHD podcast, you'll get 10% off your first month. Simply sign up at betterhelp.com/womenADHD. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/womenADHD. And there's a link in the show notes. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp.
I will say, like, the one of the biggest things that has really changed for me and been like just so beneficial for my mental health is exactly that, that like what is wrong with me, right? Like I can't even count how many times I've said that in my life, because when you do a stupid screw up like that and you just like want to go back in time and like redo it and the like, what is wrong with me? Like, how did I mess that up again? I didn't realize how much that was just like crushing my self-concept, which in my online program, that was kind of one of the first things you work on is your self-concept. And the what is wrong with me thing just like came up so much. And the first shift I saw once I really started, working on my self-concept, learning more, was that I wasn't saying what is wrong with me anymore. Like I was laughing about more of that stuff that I did, because it became like a, like, of course I did that. Like me 2 years ago, I would have been in such a tizzy if I screwed up that time. And I would have just been like beating myself up. And now I'm just like, that is so like, that's just, it's part of the territory. Like now I don't get mad at me. I like get mad at the ADHD, which feels a little bit better. It's like, ugh, brain, but not like you are a horrible human being because you screwed this up again. And I will give a really good example of when a really big one happened and I was like, wow, I am making changes. I was going with my family to Santa's Village, which is in New Hampshire. It's like a little theme park.
I've actually been there.
Yeah.
Like in the 80s.
Yeah. It's, you know what? It's fun. I think also because I was medicated and knew more about my sensory issues when we went, I was able to enjoy it. But earlier in the summer, we had been to Storyland in Santa's Village. And we were kind of talking about both of those things leading up to this trip. And I'll say how I screwed up first. I put Storyland in the GPS unknowingly. And we woke our kids up at like 6:45 in the morning. We packed everything. We were going to get there like before it opened. My wife like loves being early to things. She was so pumped that we had actually gotten out of the house, going to be, you know, some of the first in line so we could ride rides before there were lines, all this stuff. We're getting closer. We're doing like a 5-minute countdown with the kids. They had been like really good the whole car ride. We were like actually going to make it 4 minutes, 3 minutes. We get a little closer and we pull up and I saw the Storyland parking lot and my whole body, it like clicked what I had done. And I was just, I had this like freak out. I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. Because I knew now we were going to have to drive an hour to the next place. We were not going to get there early. We were meeting some family. It was a total disaster. I gave myself a minute to just totally freak out about it. We like threw the kids their Kindles and we were like, sorry guys, hold on tight. We're not there. I was really upset, but I didn't like shame myself how I used to. Like I was very, very, very aware that this was just another ADHD brain thing. You know, my wife was upset, rightfully so. Let her be upset for a while, which is another new thing. I wasn't convincing her to not be upset. Let her be upset. She then could see how upset I was and she was trying to like make me feel better. It was an accident. It could happen to anybody, which was like very kind of her. And I just like kind of let myself like be really, really upset about it. Because it was frustrating, but I just didn't blame me. I didn't go into this like shame spiral of like, I've screwed up again. I've ruined this trip. My wife's going to be so mad the whole day. Now we're going to be late. And when I got out of it, we just like got to Santa's Village and enjoyed the day. I was like, that's the difference between knowing you have ADHD and not knowing. When you don't know, all that stuff just like destroys you as a human being because you just think like you are such a screw up and you always screw it up. And afterwards, you're like, this is an unfortunate part of my brain, but it's going to happen a lot. It happened today. So yeah, that was my Santa's Village story.
Oh my goodness. That is, I think that is such a perfect story too, in terms of the importance of reframing. And we talk, I feel like I talk about that a lot on this podcast. I know I talk about it a lot with clients, like this idea of really kind of, that radical acceptance and what radical acceptance looks like. And it's, you know, not coming to a place of like, how am I going to fix this? You know, I feel like people always come to me, how am I going to fix my ADHD? And I'm like, spoiler alert.
Totally.
Right? It's not here to be fixed. It's here to be sort of accepted and managed and embraced in some ways. But like, what does that even look like? And I feel like your story is such a perfect example of like how the dominoes can fall in one direction if you're fighting it and like angry about it and feeling shame about it versus how the dominoes can fall in a totally different direction when you're sort of like, okay, this happened. This is what happens. Right. And now what? Right.
Right. Yeah. And it stinks. Like it's really annoying that it happened. Yeah. And I feel bad that it has affected my whole family as well. But it is kind of a part of it. And when you talk about fixing it, like when I joined this program, I 100% thought it was about fixing how I was, right? Like I was going to learn to be a proper adult who could do things when I was supposed to do them. It's like, I didn't know how. I couldn't wrap my brain around like how I would learn that, but I definitely thought it was about learning how to function like properly. And it was like a little bit frustrating at first because it was not focused on how to do these things better. It was focused on like me and my emotions, what causes shame and why I feel like these things are so bad that I do. And like really, really also like digging for the positives. Because, you know, when I started this workbook when I first joined and it was all about self-concept. And I wrote it down and then I read it and I was like, oh my God, I hate myself. I didn't even realize it because I presented as like fine, which had a lot to do with like masking and a little to do with how I was raised and a lot, but nobody would have known how little self-esteem I had from looking at me, you know, still, because I also don't share this part of me with just everybody. I mean, I'm not like a social media ADHD person. I'm just like a regular person who like, if it can fit into a conversation that I can tell you I have ADHD, I'll tell you, but also you might never know this about me. I reread the self-concept and I was just like, whoa. When did I get so down on myself? And that was, you know, April of 2021 that I wrote that. And I still sometimes will like reread it as like a reminder of how far I've come. And I am not where I want to be by any means. I'm still, and who knows if I ever will. I think that's the whole like work in progress idea. But sometimes I read it and I'm like, I'm so thankful that I went down this path because like that person would have just been so miserable right now and not telling anybody that I was miserable and convincing myself that I wasn't as miserable as I thought I was and all of that. And I'll read it like every once in a while. I sent it to like my coach one time and she was just like, damn. It's really powerful. And, you know, I I do not function as a proper adult these days. Like I try, but I my stuff's everywhere. I have piles. My wife is like constantly like picking up my piles and like putting them on my desk. And I mean, she has come such a far way to in understanding me. And like, it's been big for both of us because a lot of the stuff that I did in our relationship prior was really hurtful to her. And then I felt a lot of shame about because it's like, I didn't intend that. That's not what, I don't know why. For example, interrupting, like the worst interrupter. I've probably interrupted you like 10 times in this interview. And for her, being interrupted felt so disrespectful. And I couldn't explain why it was so hard for me to not. And I would try and fail. Now she knows. You know, so sometimes, like this morning, I went to interrupt her and was like, and she can like laugh about it. And she's like, just go, because you will forget it. So there's like, it's changed that dynamic too, where like, she doesn't have to take some of these things so personally. She can get frustrated about them, obviously, but she doesn't feel so hurt by it. Another example is when we used to like, you know, in our younger days, when we used to like go to bars, I'd be like, anybody want a drink? I'll go get a drink, whatever. And people would tell me what they want. And she'd be like, can you just give me some water? I would never come back with her water ever. Because it's like the drinks are all here. The water I have to go get somewhere else. Or it's like a separate category. And I have to remember. And I'd come back and I would just see the look on her face. And I'd be like, oh my God, I forgot the water, you know? And she'd be like, she cares about everybody else's drinks and not mine. Like, what the hell? And now that, you know, that working memory piece is way more understandable, that it's like, I do care about you a lot, but also the thing you just told me is gone. It does not, until I see your face, it's gone. So yeah, it's little things like that that have really changed a lot of like how we view each other.
Yeah. Right. I know. I that idea of like, I do care a lot. So then therefore, what's wrong with me? Right. Always coming back. What's wrong with me that I'm not willing to do these things? Yeah.
Right. Or like, I screwed up again. I hurt her again. Like, yeah.
Now, you had mentioned when you reached out to me, you had mentioned that when you first started listening to this podcast, you sort of felt disheartened by the fact that it was like all of these interviews with women who felt like they had it all together and were mastering their ADHD, and you felt like a hot mess. You're not the first person who said that. I mean, that's if there's like sort of one criticism that comes up most with this podcast, it's sort of like, where are the real women? And I always never know what to say about that, because I also feel like we're all hot messes, but we're all extraordinary. Like, I have yet to meet somebody who really is sort of where I'm just like, oh, I'm sorry, you're just a lost cause, right? Like,
well, and they probably wouldn't want to come on your podcast.
Well, if, true, right?
You know, if they're at that phase of like, oof, I don't think they're coming on a podcast to.
Right. Well, and that's what I mean. That. It's all about self-concept, and it's all about kind of how, who we were and how we thought of ourselves and how we kind of need to start unraveling that and discovering that extraordinary part of ourselves. So I'm curious now, like, what would you say to that version of yourself?
Well, yeah, it's, you know, I really binged your podcast for a lot, because it was a podcast where it wasn't like it was educational, but not from a strictly like, here are the symptoms, here are things, you know, it was so personal, and it also wasn't fixy, like, here's how we can do it better, here's how we can overcome this thing that's hard. It provided, you get this all the time, so much validation. Like, it was mind-blowing, really. And I had, this is after, I can't really remember when I started listening. It was early on, though. And so the idea that women have come on who are like really successful and doing well and have ADHD is inspiring. And then sometimes it can feel like, huh, but wait a minute. I had just kind of like realized maybe I'm not as far along as I wanted to be because of all this ADHD stuff that's been holding me back. But these people are like uber successful and they also have ADHD. So it almost becomes like yet another way to beat yourself up. And I think a lot of the ADHD podcasts tend to feature people who have their stuff together, who are known or who, you know, have an established career or whatnot, because that's either people know to reach out to them, or those are the people who really want to be on podcasts and share their stories. This was actually part of something that I had set for myself, which was like a long, year-long goal. And this was like a small step of it. And when when I was hearing people talk about their stories, I was like, how would I tell my story? I've never really told my story. I've never like discussed just me at length as it pertains to ADHD. I have, you know, bits of conversation with lots of different people, but I don't know how. And I still now, I don't remember even 40 minutes ago how I told my story. So if I told it again, it would probably be different. It's like, I don't know how you like get on a podcast though. Like, I don't, who would want to hear that? I think as I kept listening and also as I kept working on myself and felt a little bit more comfortable with where I'm at, because I am, yeah, in some regards, I am successful, especially given being up against ADHD difficulties, for sure. You know, I have a family.
And essentially twins too, right? I mean, yeah. That still boggles my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, sometimes I would just think like career. Like, I've always had this like, I don't know what I want to do. I don't know what I want to do with my life. I don't know what I'm good at. I have constantly felt like I wouldn't be good at that. I would have no idea how to do that. I hear you and a lot of guests a lot of the times talk about how you're like serial entrepreneurs and you're always starting a new business. And I was like, I would never do that. I would never feel like I had an idea and could just start it, because I'd be like, this is a cool idea. I have no idea how to do it. So we're just going to. But I don't know. I guess I started to be like, I don't have it all figured out by any means. I'm like starting to. It's taken a really long time. And I feel like it's probably important for other people listening, especially at the beginning of their ADHD journey, who are like, what? How do these people have it all together? To maybe see somebody who's like, maybe in the middle, kind of like, I have really learned a lot. I have come a long way. I still really struggle with so many things. I do not have my career established. I am like working in that direction, but it has taken so long. And especially remember at the beginning, I was so impatient. Everybody is like, you just want to like figure it out and like be there. And I still have moments where I'm like, I just want to be there. And I'm constantly reminded by my coach and many, many, many people, like there is no there, because when you're there, you want to be further there. Like, I've always thought of it as like, eventually I'll cross this like rainbow bridge and be on the other side of ADHD. And, you're not, you never are. Like, you're further along. I've always kind of like pictured like a moving sidewalk, but going in the opposite direction. And so like you're walking, and it like, you like take a break and it kind of pushes you back, but it kind of never ends. And sometimes when you like that, like you get burned out, it like kind of pushes you back and you have to figure out how to get back to where you were. And I feel like I'm at a place where I can so distinctly remember what the beginning was like. And I appreciate that, because I feel like I can help people who are starting where I feel like I started. It's not so distant that I can't even remember being in a place that was such a hard time, but I'm getting further along to where like, it's like the floodlight thing has like narrowed a little, you know. It's not like, what am I doing? It's like, the pieces are starting to come together, And it was hard to imagine that when I really just felt like I was like flailing and would never figure it out. And I feel like I'm in a place where I am starting to figure it out. But I want to, like anybody who is listening, to feel kind of like relieved almost in that. Just hearing like, I'm not where I so wanted to be right when I started. And that's actually okay with me. Like I thought I wouldn't, I thought the fix would be like landing where I saw myself as like successful career, overcoming the ADHD stuff. I could get everything done and I'm not, I'll never be there because I'm not fixing anything. So I think you asked what I would say to that person and I didn't answer your question at all, but that was kind of the purpose of wanting, reaching out and wanting to be on the show to be like, hi, I'm like your average Joe person with ADHD. I can share some insight, maybe.
Yeah, right. And I, when you were talking, I got this image of just like somebody kind of flailing in a river, you know, grasping at sticks or trying to grab at things that are floating by and then just sort of letting go and giving in and surfing and letting the current take you, right? And I sort of feel like, I feel like for me, a lot of that reframing, a lot of this inner work that has happened around ADHD, along with coaching and therapy and the education around what this is and why I am the way I am, and you know, all of this combined has allowed me to ride the current in a way that I don't have that anxiety anymore. I don't have that desire to fix. I don't feel like the answer is at the end of the next self-help book, right? Like a lot of that anxiousness, that eagerness, that impatience is gone. And so that's where I sort of feel like I can provide some perspective too, right? Where it's like you said, on the moving sidewalk, which is so brilliant, right? That idea of like, yeah, I don't feel like I'm really closer to a goal, but I feel less lost, I guess, feeling like I've eluded something that everybody else is getting. You have a real gift of articulation.
It's just funny to get that feedback because we just ramble, right? And we just like talk in circles. And I so frequently afterwards, I have to stop myself from being like, does that make any sense? Because in my head it did. I'm glad it does to you. Sometimes, I mean, I think, you know, you have ADHD too, so it makes sense. Sometimes it wouldn't if you don't. But I should like very, very, very much credit so much of this to my coach and my coaching program and therapy. Like, I do take meds. I am so aware, though, that the meds would be doing nothing without coaching. Therapy is super important too, but I think in terms of like the self-concept thing is feels like it's the biggest thing. All the other stuff can kind of come with it. But that this I've been in this program for now almost 2 years and like super life-changing. And I joined it again, assuming it would be something that I tried and I spent this money on and then I just didn't keep up with it. And I kind of can't believe I have stuck with it for this long. But that, so not only do I get coached, but like you were saying, it's a community of people with ADHD. And I just feel like the past two years has been like so brand new to me because all of a sudden you are hearing other people's experiences and sharing your experiences and validating each other. And you can say anything and you don't sound crazy. And it's just like this world of like, oh my God, there's more people who have functioned like me. Like this isn't so wild and out there like I have been made to feel or telling myself. The community really is everything. Like I kind of can't believe I've in the past, like maybe judged people who had like really good online relationships. Cause I'm like, met them. But some of these people like know me really well and I know them and like share stories. And it's just, it's like all this stuff that you kind of kept inside, which is probably just like weighing you down so much. Like, that's embarrassing. That's embarrassing. Don't tell anybody that. That's, you know, you just one by one, you start to like let it out. And other people are like, I totally get it. I've done the same thing. Or like, you have nothing to feel bad about. Or, you know, I would have handled the same way. And you're like, oh my gosh, this is so great. So yeah, wherever I've come on the moving sidewalk, which like, it, do you think in, I think in visual.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Imagery absolutely. All the time. What it's so much because of that. Yeah. I like joining that. And I went back and forth about it for so long. And I think I like broke down to my wife about it. And she was like, just join the program. And I was like, it kind of costs a lot of money. And she was like, just join the program.
Right. That's the hardest thing, too, is thinking about return on investment with that stuff and like expense. So what is the program? I think I know what it is, but I want to.
So it's a focused program with Kristen Carter.
I was just going to say, I think this sounds like Kristen Carter's community, but yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it was the first podcast that I binged on. And, you know, after like 2 months of going back and forth, I was like, I'll just try it out. And I joined again before I was diagnosed. So I totally felt like a fraud. Like, I don't belong here. And people were immediately like, stop. We do not care if you have a diagnosis or not. If these are the things you're struggling with, like, you are in the right place. And I was like, right? Cool.
I know. Yeah, I know, right?
Because getting a diagnosis is sometimes impossible. And so even if you never get the diagnosis, if you can join a community of people who are struggling with the same things that you're struggling with, you just don't have to have that label in order to start figuring out a different way. I can say that now, but I 100% felt like I didn't belong there yet. And I was really, really quickly met with like, you're fine. You do not need the diagnosis. It's not like when you're, you know, signing up for the program, it's like, please write the doctor's name who prescribed you with ADHD. Like, it's just like, nope, you're here, you found your people. And if a month in, you're like, whoa, this is not what I'm struggling with, then you leave the program. It's not for you. But if you figure out within the first month, like, bingo, like, this is it. Yeah, so that's, I mean, it's been a game changer, for sure.
That's amazing.
If you have ADHD, it can often feel overwhelming to find the right treatment. And then when you finally do get an appointment with your local clinician, there's no guarantee that they will have the adequate background or understanding of ADHD in adults, especially in women. You might end up leaving that appointment more confused and disheartened than when you entered. That's where Done comes in. Done is an online ADHD care platform that can get you all the resources you need to help manage your ADHD. With experienced clinicians who know exactly what to look for, you can start getting personalized care as soon as today or tomorrow. Take a free one-minute assessment and book an appointment with a licensed ADHD clinician as soon as the next day. Get continuous care, one-click refills, insurance coverage, and 24/7 care team support with Done for just $79 a month and pharmacy copays as low as $0. Visit get.donefirst.com/podcast to learn more. Again, that's get.donefirst.com/podcast. Done. Turn ADHD into your strength.
I am now training to be a coach, which is why I say, like, I am starting to figure out the path. And even just deciding to do that shows me how far I've come, because I remember early on in the program, so, you know, there's like all the message boards and whatnot, and somebody had discussed being a coach. And in my head, I was like, huh, that's cool. But like, how would I possibly coach somebody when I am like, that's so far-fetched for me, but it does kind of seem to fit a lot of the things I like to do, but I would never be able to coach somebody with ADHD. Like, fast forward a year later, there was another comment, and like, I immediately got this like pang of jealousy. And I kind of, instead of just like ignoring it, like I might have, I was like, why am I jealous of this person who is becoming a coach? And then I was like, it's because I want to become a coach. Like, this is, I all of a sudden was like, I get it. I get that you can help people even when you don't have it all figured out yourself. It's so much easier to see somebody else's situation than your own. And it's also like so much just about guiding. You're not fixing somebody, which is kind of what I, again, used to think it was. I don't have to fix anybody. I just have to kind of like guide them how I was guided. And again, another thing that's funny is I look back to the self-concept book and sent this to my coach as well. And one of the things, like early on, it was like, who are you? Besides just like mother, whatever your career is, like daughter, like what do you do? What do you like? And a lot of mine was like, I like empathizing with people. You know, I like helping people. I like being a safe person for people. I like to help people feel validated. I like to help people, like once I've kind of like gone through something, I like to help. And I look back at it and I was like, I literally described coaching and I didn't see it when I wrote it. So the puzzle pieces are starting to come together. And after, you know, a long time of feeling like, what am I doing? Like, where am I going with this?
Oh my goodness. I have loved this conversation so much. Like you know, it's no coincidence why so many of us turn to advocacy and sort of make ADHD our life's work after a diagnosis, because it is so profound an experience to go through, and we just want to save others, right? Like, we just want to help anyone else who maybe isn't there yet. And I think it's also why coaching is such an effective relationship for both sides, right? Like, it's as somebody who is diagnosed, coaching is really such an effective modality, or, you know, a way to spend your money on yourself or whatever you want to look at it. Like, it really can be so life-changing. But at the same time, like you said, like, once you've sort of gone through this and realize the potential, your own potential, and you just want to help other people. Like, I just think we have so much empathy because we spend so much of our lives in this state of confusion and sadness and self-esteem, you know, low self-esteem and all of the above. And it just feels so wonderfully communal and symbiotic to then want to, you know, help others. And so I feel like you've taken us on this incredibly relatable journey through, you know, what it's like to have this adult diagnosis, and exactly, you know, what I wanted to start with this podcast and what I went through. And, you know, I think everybody listening is going to relate to this so much. So I'm really, really grateful that you took this leap and decided to share your story. It's really powerful.
I'm so glad to hear you say that, because going into it, I do this all the time where I'm like, what am I going to say? And then I, you know, have a million things to say. I, you know, I have all my notes next to me. I didn't look at them once. They, you know, thank you for providing that feedback, because I just, you know, even when I reached out to you, I was like, I don't know what the purpose of being on this podcast was. It just feels like something that I have to do. And, you know, the scary thing about this is, like, I have been very like closeted about my ADHD, not just like I've never shared anything about it past like personal conversations with people. It's not, and I was like, I feel like I could use being on this episode as the like, all right, here it is. Like, cat's out of the bag. Like, it is what it is. And now, like, I don't know if you have questions, like, you know, in terms of my friends, like, sometimes I see things that like people are struggling with, and I'm like, oh, that might be ADHD. Do I tell you? Can I have this conversation with you? And it just took a kind of stranger's one comment to me. And I told her this afterwards. I was like, I reached out to her like a year later and was like, I just need to let you know that, like, you just saying that one, like, do you have ADHD? And she was like blown away by it, because that when you have ADHD, if you're going to start going down the rabbit hole, you're going to go down the rabbit hole. And sometimes it just takes like the one person to be like, that's a little, it's familiar. And I want to be more open about it because her openness allowed me to be where I am. But being open about it has been really hard for me. So hopefully it won't be moving forward, especially if I want to be an ADHD coach, I probably have to share.
Well, I think anyone listening, I'm sure there's going to be people listening to this episode who are like, okay, when is she starting? Come on, get your certification now. So when you do launch your business, please come back and let me know so people can find you. And
I'm going to take you up on that because I'm going to be like, well, now I'm a coach and I have no idea what to do.
So I can't not ask you if you could name it something else. Would you call it something else? Do you have a name for it?
You know, I'm going to be your cliche guest who's like, I hear you ask all your guests this. And obviously the attention deficit hyperactivity is like the worst name ever. I don't really accept, you know, like I've been kind of cheating off some other guests. It's like regulation, right? It's like regulation. Emotions, attention, focus, motivation, everything. It's like here and then it's gone. And while I think that you can like work with that if you understand it, I still think like that's the heart of it. So something along the lines of like regulation deficit disorder, because it's not just your attention. Like everybody says, I am aware of everything in my room right now. That's why it's so distracting. I would like to regulate that, which I'm able to do right now, sometimes I can't. So the long short of it, RDD, but also regulation. I guess that's not, others might not really understand that. I don't know. It's the best I got.
I was going to say, I know, right? Like even if anytime I think about like what I would rename it, like executive functioning ish, you know, regulation, emotional regulation, I'm like, I don't think any of those would have tipped me off in the early days either, you know? So I'm like,
right, exactly. Cause I didn't know what regulation was before I learned.
Exactly. So I'm like, I don't know what would have done it for me. I honestly don't, because it's everything, right? It's everything all at once. That's like that movie, right?
Something feels off disorder. Something feels off and you can't pinpoint it. Disorder.
Right. And well, that's why I found like, you know, when I finally, there was that book that was written ages ago, but you know, the book, You Mean I'm Not Crazy. I always miss this one up. Like, yeah. You Mean I'm Not Lazy, Crazy, and Stupid. One of those in that order where I was like, oh, okay, I'm definitely in the right place.
Right. It's like that's the language. I think I have like your brain's not broken on the like back. It's like that's the language that gets you to be like, come again. I do think lazy is definitely you can't put that in the name, but I think that is we are out of time, but I'm going to say one more thing that was like, whoa. I think there's like a Danny Donovan graphic that I saw one day, and it was like the picture of the person sitting on the couch, and to like an outsider, they look like they're just like hanging out, relaxing, whatever. And then the inside was like, and I was like, oh my God, that's what it is. And I claim that I really just enjoy like sitting on the couch, relaxing, like all the other stuff can wait. And I don't. And I don't know if I'm like covering up for myself to say like, this is what I actually enjoy doing. I want to enjoy it. But it was this like, that's why I look lazy, because you just see me sitting on the couch. Like I don't have a care in the world, but because you think it looks lazy, I think I am lazy. But here is what is happening. That is like, I'm not relaxing at all. I don't feel rested at all because I am full of shame and guilt for the things that I'm actually not doing right now that I'm going to pay for later. So when you said like crazy, stupid, lazy, like that's a big, big, big one that it's like the starting place for people to really like fully believe. And sometimes I still don't believe it, but at least I have the like wherewithal to like remind myself that it's really not true, even if it feels it sometimes. Yeah. I'll stop talking. Just cut me off.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it just occurred to me when you were talking too, like Well, no, it was like we, I feel like many of us, like when I think of myself on vacation, I'm always doing stuff. I always have all these ideas and I'm like, let's go here. Let's go here. Let's do this tour. Let's visit this place. Like I have a million things I want to do when I'm in relaxation mode, quote unquote. But when I am lying on the couch, I'm in like paralysis mode, right? And I that was a big thing for me, that like paralysis has a lot to do with internalized hyperactivity and you know, the sort of intersection where internalized hyperactivity and executive dysfunction meet looks like laziness and relaxation and, you know, lying around scrolling on your phone, but it's actually like a lot more complicated than that. So it's interesting to me how it's like, I will spend my quote unquote, like when I'm supposed to be productive is when I'm lying on the couch. When I'm supposed to be relaxing, it's when I'm running around doing a million things.
So you're doing fun things and you're also doing really fun things, which like it's easy to get up and do fun things. It is the worst to get up and do dishes and laundry and paperwork and, you know.
Right. So, but yeah, just that reminder that like, no, I'm actually not lazy. It's just what the thing is.
Right. I can do things. Yeah. Yeah. I can do lots of things, but I have to choose which thing. And then I have to put on a lot of music and I have to amp myself up. And like, that feels like a lot. So I'm just going to sit here. Yeah.
Oh, well, I will say it again. Emily, this has been a really wonderful conversation. Thank you so, so much for coming and getting here on time and not accidentally showing up. Although we would have rescheduled.
I know. I feel like that's my win for the day.
Right? I believe me, I've done it before. So you're in the right place, as they say. So thank you.
I really appreciate you, you know, letting me come on when I'm just a, you know, just a ADHD Joe Schmo. So thank you. Yeah.
We're all ADHD. I'm just an ADHD Joe Schmo myself. So we're in good company. Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
And there you have it. Thank you for listening, and I really hope you enjoyed this episode of the Women and ADHD Podcast. Also, you know we ADHDers crave feedback, and I would really appreciate hearing from you, the listener. If you're a fan of the podcast, please take a moment to leave me a review on Apple Podcasts or Audible. And if that feels like too much, and I get it, then just take a few seconds right now to give me a 5-star rating. Or share this episode on your own social media to help reach more women who maybe have yet to discover and lean into this gift of neurodivergency. And they may still be struggling and don't even know why. And if you'd like to find out more about me and my one-on-one coaching for women with ADHD, head over to womenandadhd.com/coaching. And you can always find that link in the show notes. I'll see you next week when I interview another amazing woman who discovered that she is not lazy or crazy or broken, but she has ADHD, and she is now on the path to understanding her neurodiversity and finally using this gift to her advantage. Take care till then. Okay, before we get started with today's episode, have you heard the awesome news? Llama Life now has an iOS app so you can take it with you wherever you go. I have been using Llama Life consistently on my computer for a year now. A year! That's unprecedented. That's like a lifetime in ADHD terms. And now with the new iOS app, I'm able to seamlessly transition between my computer and my iPhone so that my favorite little productivity coach is with me whenever I need it. So what is so special about Llama Life? Well, for starters, it's not a fancy new calendar or planner or complicated productivity management system. It's a time-boxing, single-tasking program that easily integrates with your already existing organizational systems. If you're like me and you struggle with time blindness or maintaining focus throughout your day, then this is the app for you. I love Llama Life because it's simple, effective, and beautifully designed. And dare I say, it makes even the most mundane chore more fun and colorful. If you want to check out the iOS app for yourself, head to the App Store for a free trial and start enjoying that Llama Life for yourself.